Father, as your word comes forth, Lord, we can, Lord, judge ourselves, Father, with your word, Lord, and be wise, Father. Lord, it's unwise to judge ourselves by ourselves or, Lord, something we think. But, Lord, it's your grace and your mercy. You guide us and lead us. Father, grant to us understanding more every day. And we'll give you the glory and honor. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to come. Lord, may you feed us, we ask, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me in our Only Bleed books, if you will. Amen. Page 120. The room at the fountain. Amen. Have you been to the fountain?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's start with the chorus, if you would, Amy. Room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. I heard my loving Savior say, there's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, come and wash the sins away. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Room. I came to him, my sins confessed. There was room at the fountain for me. When I gave up, my heart was blessed. There's room at the fountain for me. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for me. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. I plunged beneath the crimson tide. There is room at the fountain for me. And now by faith am sanctified. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. I found the crimson stream, I know. There's room at the fountain for me. His blood has washed, amen, hallelujah. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. He cleansed my heart from inbred sin. There's room at the fountain for thee. And now he keeps me pure within. There's room at the fountain for thee. Sing the next one. I'll praise him while he gives me breath. There's room at the fountain for me. He saved me from an awful death. There's room at the fountain for thee. Amen. Oh, room, room.
fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. His blood was shed but once for all. There's room at the fountain for me. Oh, don't reject sweet mercy's call. There's room at the fountain for thee. The last verse. Oh, we'll sing with all the saints above. There was room at the fountain for thee. And praise him for redeeming love. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Oh, room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Amen. So thankful there was room. Amen. Always open. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 185. Turn the same old books there. Lord brought me out. I'm so glad. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord. Amen. Sing it again. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord, amen, are you? Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm too glad that the Lord brought you out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord brought you out? Amen. Oh, his grace and his mercy. He saw me. Amen. Page 151. Sing yes before we change the order. Amen. One of them. Truly say I'm one of them. Praise his name.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, oh glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Although these people may not
They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, amen. Oh, one of them, oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say, hallelujah, one of them, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, oh, one of them, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ring, and will keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, oh, hallelujah. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All his grace, saints, he's shown us. Amen. About how undeserving I am. His grace is always there. He's so wonderful. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? Precious Jesus. Amen. That's the blessing, if you will.
Thank you for what you do. Pray you'll take care of yourself and your saints.
Bless us.
Bless us all people that are in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Oh, I want to see him.
Amen.
Truly do. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, oh my life, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, amen, his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have something on your heart, a need, request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we go before him. Brother Finley, would you like to take the request? Okay. Brother DeLong, Philip, would you like to take the request?
Father, tonight, for every need, every hand was raised to go to me, Lord. We pray that you do.
His word is like us forth his power and spirit. Yes.
Oh.
Father, heal our hearts. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Anybody have a song special in your hearts? Amen. Praise his name. All right. Do you have a song out there? All right. Well, let's all stand then, if you would. Amen. Sing Little Chorus Only Believes. Ask our brother to come.
Yes.
Only believe.
Heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we truly count it a great honor and a privilege, Lord, to be able to gather here this evening. Lord, to come in with saints of like precious faith and sing these precious hymns. And Lord, to realize what you've done for us and through your mercy and grace. And Lord, we just thank you for all the word that you've been so abundantly bestowed upon us. And Lord, we just continue to cry out for a greater understanding and a revelation, Lord, of those things that you've delivered to us. And Lord, we just pray tonight for your blessings upon your words, that, Lord, it would go forth and find good ground somewhere. It would strengthen, encourage, and help someone along their way. And Lord, may we truly just give you all the glory and the honor that's due unto you. And we'll never fail to praise and thank you for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes, he
Amen.
Is.
Why don't we just sing that little chorus before we start? I love him. We didn't have a special, so let's sing that as our special for this evening.
I love him. I love him. Because he first loved. Just my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. I pray that it's kind of what we're going to minister on a little bit this evening, and it just struck me, just thinking and meditating on, it's his love because he first loved me. Amen. And maybe just read some scriptures and quotes tonight to go along with that and maybe just refresh our mind to some things. But while you're still standing, if you'd like to, let's turn our Bibles over to Romans, the 9th chapter. I'm praying somebody will be able to take something from God's precious word. As I was reading through these things, and just strengthen and encouragement. And it's wonderful to reminisce in what God has done for us. Never forget. Amen. But here in Romans, the 9th chapter, and we'll begin about the 11th verse. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, and not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. May the Lord add the blessing of his word, and you may be seated. As we just renew our minds to a few of these things, and as I said, because he first loved me, is why I'm here tonight.
Amen.
And as we renew our minds to some of these scriptures and things, just remember that the instructions he's left us. And let's turn over to 1 John. Hey, man, I'll try not to be too long. I just got some quotes, stuff we'll share here. But let's go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Hey, man. Just bear these things in mind until we get through a little bit here. But just watch the message is coming forth through the scriptures of what these men were saying. But 1 John, the 4th chapter, let's start about the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Think about these things. Amen. We'll just stop right there for a moment. But think about, as the message is going forth, as we see this great love that God had for us, and we see what he's brought us from, and as we'll get into more scriptures, but I want you to notice, as brother John here was expressing in himself, beloved, if God so loved us, how we ought to also love one another. And think about that along with the message our pastor's been bringing on the tongue, and a true love for one to another, how careful we would treat it if we truly realized that person we were speaking against is God's purchased elect. Could be, may not be, but just think about it. If it's your brother or sister in Christ and we're speaking, but think about the love that we should be having one to another. Yes. Caring for one another, loving each other, bearing one another's burdens. Think about this as all that Christ has done for us. Amen. Amen. Let's turn over here to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. All these are very familiar, but just want to refresh your mind to them. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and let's just start here at the first verse. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So first off, don't forget where you were, and where we come from, and what God did for us. Amen. That we don't look down on someone else that may be in a bad situation right now, or maybe in another, tied up in something else that God may be going to work on, but be careful. That's why the word has been coming. We must be led by the Spirit. We must be careful of every action, every word. Make sure that it's in tune with what the Holy Spirit is looking for, not what we think or our personal opinion or some idea that we've hatched up in our mind. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So think about this, is this great love that God had, that drew salvation's plan. Yes. That he would send Jesus and come down and take on the form of a man. And go to that cross to be hung, beaten, scarred, striped for us. And he opened not his mouth and took it all. For you and I, think about the suffering that he went through, and just let it's always good to reminisce of what he bore for you and I. And each time that lash was hitting him, or them crown of thorns was pressed a little harder, and his side was pierced, and that blood ran down, yes. It was covering you and I for today. Yes. Knowing that he shed that he knew we would need it. But oh, he made a way that in this day we would be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and see it take a part and a hold in our lives and to lead us and to guide us by what he done at Calvary. And now what a great privilege and an honor it is, and how it should thrill our hearts to see what he's done for us. But how it should make us so humble and so loving to others. You know, if you take in the natural, you take somebody that maybe was born into a homeless situation, never had nothing, and grew up that way, and then all of a sudden they've been handed everything. Oftentimes you'll find most of those type people are still giving it back to other people that they can help. They can see what they were, they see where they come from, and they see that what's happening. That's just in the natural. How much more magnified it ought to be in a Christian's life to see where God has brought us from, and how much more long-suffering we should have one for another. How much more love, brotherly kindness being expressed one to the other. And how slow to speak and quick to hear we ought to be as we see these things take place. And realizing that he has no hands or eyes but yours and I's. No mouthpiece to use but you and I. And how as we're here as his representative, everything we're saying and doing is a reflection of him.
Yes.
And you know, as when you think about that, Brother Branham spoke many times about the gold out in Arizona, how they ran it through a smelter till they could beat it, and they beat it till they could see the reflection in it to get the impurities out of it. And just think about that as God's word keeps coming forth. Our pastors took 3 services to grind it in there about how poisonous our tongue can be. But I want you to think about that, how that word, every time it's coming forth, and we'll get to it here in a moment, but it's taking those impurities out of us to bring that reflection of Christ greater into our lives. And how thankful we ought to be, because that's part of this great love that he had for us.
Yes.
It didn't just stop at Calvary, but it's a love that started before there was a moon or a star. And it's continuing on, and it'll continue right on into eternity. But oh, how we should be able to share that to others.
Amen.
In the message, Perfect Faith, this is very familiar. I read it not too long ago. Brother Branham was saying, this is paragraph 132, August 25th, 1963, in Perfect Faith. And when we were sinners, alienated without God in the world, in the muck of the mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you, you never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was, and look what you are. What did that?
Yes.
Somebody that loves you. Can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing, and I am still nothing, but I'm in his hands. See, he caught me, and he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you, just like the collared sister said that time in her testimony. She said, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but then I'm not what I used to be. She knowed she had come somewhere, something had happened, and that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. And he had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took beside you, but he took you. Amen. No one can take your place. You're in God's economy. No one can do it. And that's his love to you. Think about that. That before the world was ever formed, he saw you in his mind.
Amen.
And made a way for you and I to be here tonight to receive this precious word. He set our feet on this journey that we are finishing up to now. And we see, as our pastors even mentioned, we're here to finish this work. We're here to finish this journey that we've been sent on. And how God has so greatly laid out the plan of salvation before us and set it all in order, that through it he would be the total reflection of our life. If you would, let's turn over here to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and read this. Put this in here with it. Ephesians 5, and we'll just start here at the 25th verse. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Brother Branham spoke a lot about that washing of the water by the word. In different places he mentioned it. And what he was speaking to was the waters of separation. As that word comes forth, it's separating us from unbelief. It's cleansing us and pushing us out in many different places. But this is in the message, A Thinking Man's Filter. And I didn't write down the year. I know it was preached in 65, but I didn't write down the month. But this is about paragraph 103. Listen to what he was saying. He said, also now we want to look at Ephesians 5:26. It said the washing of the water by the word. Waters of separation, what's it do? Then the filter of God is the word and the waters of separation. Washing of the waters of separation by the word, God's filter. And then you can't come into Christ through a church filter. You can't come by a denominational filter or a creed filter. There is only one filter that you can enter into that holy place, and that's through the washing of the water by the word. The word of God is a thinking man's filter. The church will judge you here whether you're a good member or not. And they'll give you a good funeral and a half-mast the flag at your death and send great wreaths of flowers and do everything for you. But when it comes down to your soul facing God, it's got to have eternal life. And if it's an eternal life, it's part of that word. And as my own word cannot deny, my own hand can't deny my hand. And my own eyes can't deny my hand, and my foot, my toe, or any part of me, they cannot deny. And neither can a man that's part of the word of God or a woman deny one part of the word of God. Amen. Women, you think you can have bobbed hair and come into the presence of God? You're wrong, you see? You're wrong. You can't come through God's filter where you're washed by the water of the word. And where you're washed by the water of the word. And just think about it. He's using a bobbed-haired woman there. But just think about all of the word that we've heard. Yes. It's every word. Yes. We can't come through it. Our pastor's been speaking about the tongue. We can't come through it if our tongue's not tamed. We can never come through this filter. If I'm a husband that can't love my wife, I can't come through that filter. I just read it there at the beginning of that scripture. If I'm a wife that can't come under submission, if I refuse to do that, I'm not coming through the filter. And it's going to cause me problems down the road here as he speaks. Yes. He says, you're wrong. You can't come through God's filter where you are washed by the water of the word. And then you enter into fellowship. You think you are, but you can't be until you come through the word. Every little spot, every little word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. It's got to come through that filtration and coming through. Yes. And that gives a righteous man's taste, because that's what he's looking for. Looking for something to cleanse him. And the word of God is a thinking man's filter, and it makes a righteous man's taste. Yes. And we know that's true. Filters out all the sin of unbelief out. And there's no more disbelief when you come through that filter, because it's a real true believer's taste. Amen. Amen. I just think that's really good as you look around us and we see what's going on around us. There's churches preaching every day. There's ministers behind pulpits every day, trying to tell people they're sons and daughters of God. You're excited, you know, give this devil a black eye. Go do this and do that and do this. But they never really let them pass their life through the filter of God's precious word. And you know, it's often like trying to say, I can drive a car, but I've never had the exam and I've never had the experience to go drive that car. But this word, but if I've had that test and I've went and took that exam, and then I get behind the wheel of the car, I know that car will go down the road just fine. And that's the way God's precious word is. It is a filter. And if we'll line up with it first and let that precious word flow through us, there'll be no problem knowing where we stand in the presence of God. There's no reason to have doubt. There's no reason to fear. There won't be no uncertainty. I'll be able to stand there with boldness and confidence and ask what I will. And he said he would grant it if it was according to his will. How these things should be so evident and so thankful in our lives, because if God is still pecking at your heart's door, if the word comes forth and it still pricks your heart, Lord, I need to overcome that. That's not you and yourself. It takes something special down on the inside for that word to come and grab. Think about the people that heard Peter that day say, men and brethren, what? And he was preaching the word to them, and they were pricked in their heart, and they said, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not everybody that heard him say that went and repented and got baptized.
But there was some that their heart, that was their burning. They heard that. And they followed his advice and God manifested it to them.
Yes,
and that's how it is with God's precious word. It's going forth. But there's special elected receivers sitting there hearing that word. One may hear it and say, I ain't got no problem with that. I don't even see any reason for that in my life. And another sitting there, maybe not even having a real problem, but there's something down in there churning. Lord, let me make sure there's not one time that my tongue's out of line. Don't let me make one sure, Lord, that this word's broke over here or that word's broke over there. It's a burning down on the inside. It's not something that they do in themselves because they're afraid of just going to hell. No. But there's a love affair that's taken place between them and Jesus Christ because of what he has done for them and what they've seen him do. Amen. I'm going to turn over here to Proverbs just a little bit and catch this and read two little scriptures before we get into this next quote. Amen. May sound like we're changing the order, but I just put this right along with it. I think it went real good when the way Brother Branham puts it here in the church age book. But in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
Yes,
even as a father, a son in whom he delighteth. So what if I never went to, what if I never came in these doors and ever felt like the word of God ever chipped on me? What if I felt like it never scourged me of anything that I needed to clean up and move out of my life? What if I just came in here every time and, oh, you're perfect. You're just waiting on a rapture. That's all you need. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Maybe doing all kinds of nonsense out here that won't run through this filter. But that word of God's never coming. But God corrects those he loves.
Yes.
So if it's coming and it's pricking your heart and there's something in there saying, I need to be more like that.
Yeah.
That don't happen on its own. But God comes seeking his own all the time. Those that he's seeking, maybe that haven't come to full recognition yet of what he's done for them. But then there's those that truly see what he's done and they can still feel that pecking. Son, you need to chip this off on this side.
Amen.
The word comes and you say, I want to get rid of this and shave that off to see it run through this filter greater. And oh, it's an inside working that's working to the outside, that it's evident on the outside, that it's taking place on the inside. And our pastor read this, but let's just renew our minds to it in the Revelation, the 3rd chapter. If you turn with me there, just to catch, as this was at the end of the Laodicean church age, and I won't read all of it, I'm just going to catch about the 19th verse. But as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Because behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Think about that, that little prick in the heart. The word's coming forth, that little knock. Son, this is wrong. And look at that willing heart that says, Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. And you watch him as he says, and I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Yes.
Think about this word as it keeps going forth. It is a filter. You take a coffee filter, it never stops doing its job. When you put them grounds in there and you pour, don't matter if you pour 5 cups or 12 cups through it, that same filter is going to filter it all out and just let the water come through pure. And as long as we're here, this filter is going to continue to hold. And it'll just keep filtering and filtering and filtering till it's pure as it can be in every aspect of our life. And how it ought to just thrill our hearts to see that God is ever mindful of us. Bring in things. It would be so, you know, it's so easy on the flesh. And that's why churches just fill up. People love to be told how pretty they are. They love to be told how nice they are. They love to be told how good they're doing and all these wonderful things. They love to have men's worship and men's applause in the flesh. That happens. And all that makes them feel so good. But oh, how good it ought to make you feel when God's precious word can come. And you can feel it just cleaning you. As our brother Kevin mentioned in the song service, we're measuring ourselves up by that precious word.
Yes,
you feel that measuring stick and you feel that scale that's balancing. Where do I fall on the scale?
Mm-hmm.
And oh my, when you can see, oh, chisel that off and that scale begins to balance better. Oh, how grateful we ought to be to the Lord Jesus Christ for the great love that he's showing to us through these times. And it comes in many different ways. We'll read here what Brother Branham said. But every situation in life, there's a chance for growth.
Yes.
There's a chance for us to grow higher. There's a chance for us to see where we're standing with God. There's situations happen just to show us where we're standing. He lets things happen here and there along the way. This is in the latest in Church Age, and it was in chapter 9, and I didn't write down the page, but we could get it for you if you need it. But it's pretty much near the end, I believe. But so as he picks up here, Brother Branham saying, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Revelation 3:19. This is the same message that John had as he cried out in the religious, in that religious wilderness of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and heathens, "Repent." There was no other course then. There's no other course now. There's no other way to get back to God then. And there's no way other way now. It is repent, change your mind, turn around and repent. For why will you die? Let us examine the first phrase, "as many as I love." In the Greek, the emphasis is upon the personal pronoun I. He does not say as many would feel he should say, "as many has loved me." No, sir. He must never try to make Jesus the object of human love in this verse. It is as many that are the loved ones of God. It is his love in question, not ours. So once again, we find ourselves glorying in his salvation, his purpose, and his plan. And I'm so glad I can rest in that. Amen. Not what I've got to work up, not what I got to try to achieve, but what he has preordered me to be. Amen. It's his love in question, not ours. So once again, we find ourselves glorying in his salvation, his purpose, his plan, and we are confirmed even more strongly in the truth of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Even as he said in Romans 9:13, "Jacob have I loved. Does it now obtain that since he loved only the many, he is therefore the state of complacency." I'm sorry, my tongue won't wrap around some of those words. "Awaiting for the love of those who have not drawn nigh to him." By no means is this so, for he declared also in Romans 9:13, "Esau have I hated." And in verse 11, the Spirit boldly calls out for the children not being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. This love is elective love. It is the love for his elect, and his love for them is apart from human merit. For it says that the purpose of God stands in election, which is exactly opposite to works or anything man has in himself. Because before the children were born, he had already said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And now he says to his own, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." To rebuke is to reprove, and to reprove is to expose with a view to correction. Chasten does not mean to punish. It means to discipline, because that's the subject's amendment is in mind. This is exactly what we find in Hebrews 12:5-11. "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as always with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. And nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And herein is now set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons, sons like himself. And there before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. And out of the same lump he will now make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be his own choosing. And then those chosen ones born of his spirit will be trained to conform to his image in their walk. He reproves with all longsuffering and gentleness and mercy. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. And sometimes this potter must take the vessel he is working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it. But it is love. That is his love. Another way of his love there is not and there cannot be. O little flock, do not fear.
This age is fast closing. And as it does, those tares will be bound together as a threefold cord is not easily broken. They will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. Amen. She will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth. For he who loved his own loveth them until the end. John 13:1. Amen. His love is still with us, saints. Yes, every day, every hour, whether it's here or maybe you're sitting at home in the quietness of your home reading the scripture, reading a quote, and something just pecks your heart of, boy, I need to watch that. Oh, look at this over here. Lord, I just don't think that's been right in my life. But oh, every way, he's making sure to bring it back to our attention. Run these things through that precious filter of his God's precious word. What a love affair it really is. It's not burdensome. It's not grievous to us. But oh my, when we see what we've done wrong, that's grievous. And it makes us, Lord, don't ever let us do that again. But think about how true it is. How many times, even growing up, you could truly see maybe your father was correcting you for things. And could see it bearing down on you, that trying to teach you right and somebody else could just get away with it, and their father didn't care what they were into, didn't care where they was going, didn't care what they were doing, didn't try to give them any correction or any advice. How great it is that our Father is still mindful and giving us all of the advice. And he gave that through the fivefold ministry to us. Don't ever forget, he gave those gifts to the church. And oh my, he uses them for your and I benefit. And how great it is to see what God is doing for us in this last few moments of time. It's easy to get swept up, and many want a great revival. Many want this and they want that going on. But God's word has already explained where we're standing. It's already showed where that's all been. Yes. And it's showing where we're standing now, and how, if we were in tune, how great we should be preparing for those last few moments in that journey we're fixing to take. Yes, and oh, may our hearts be stirred within us that, Lord, thank you for bringing these things back to our remembrance. Thank you, Lord, for keeping it mindful and keeping it fresh before me. Because oh, so many saints are not getting the loving hand of a father that they need. And it's lack because of lack of leadership that's in the pulpit. They don't have a true fivefold minister there to lead them and to guide them and to show them. They're sheep, they must be led. It's God's provided way. But God won't lose one of his own. He will make sure that some way, somehow, he's going to get the word to them. Amen. And it will work. He said nobody will pluck him from his hand. They might be misled for a moment. They might be caught up in something over here that he might have to bring them out of with a mighty hand. But he said no one would pluck any of them from his hand. And he put that little verse in there, that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. But it won't be possible, because he is watching over them. He will make sure that they're right where he wants them to be. Oh, may we truly yield and lean on him as we see the hour fast approaching and the hour of great deception that we're in. May we truly cry out for revelation. And Lord, show me what else I need. Don't let me get satisfied that I've reached a plateau and everything is good. I'm just waiting, Lord, for you to come and get me. But while I'm here, they're still growing. Brother Branham said, you can't come in a service and leave the same person. You either come in closer to God or farther away. And oh, may each time we come in, may we be able to see the new growth of spurts taking place by the word that we've hidden in our hearts. Amen. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Pray you can take a little something from it this evening. Yes. Strengthen you, encourage you, think about it. You know, God is ever mindful of us. And sometimes things come forth. It's just, you know, sometimes you're sitting there and it may not catch anybody else. It might have been one quote in the service. And it strikes your heart so real. But it was for you. God's got a way of doing that. He knows what we have need of and when we need it. And he will send it just our way. Yes. And oh, I'm so glad we serve a living God. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing that little chorus, My God is Real, as our pastor comes. Amen. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold.
real. Oh, yeah, I can feel him in my soul.
Amen. Thankful for the word that has renewed our minds back to some wonderful treasures. Amen. You know, and that's encouraging to me too. You know, because sometimes when you're the vessel that God uses to chasten and bring the word, and sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's hot, but it makes you encouraged to hear things like this. You know, it's in God's plan, you know, and you just feel the word telling you, keep pressing on. This is the way I show my love to my little sheep, you know, and so I appreciate it. I got something wonderful from it tonight. I'm sure you did too. Amen. There's something about the Word of God. I don't care how many times you hear it. It is truly inspired. And it's just so refreshing every time you hear it. It just amazes me sometimes when I sit down and think about it. And I've meditated on it before. You know, you can pick up a magazine. Maybe they print out in the world or something like that. Maybe Popular Science or this Reader's Digest or something like that. And there's just so much difference between reading something like that and picking up the Word of God and read. And it just amazes me to think, you know, it's all words. You know, each book has words in it. But there's something about God's inspired Word. It's just so refreshing. Makes you so thankful. And you just want to eat it and eat it and eat it. The more worldly magazines, you can look at them and you get tired of them. No time to just throw them back down. There's something about the word, you just can't hardly put it down. It's just so good. Is it good to you?
Amen.
Then God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to wait till they get a chord for it. I'm sure it didn't start right. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Sing it again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Is he good to you? Good to me. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, one of these days we'll be able to sing and sing everything just right, Lord. But Father, in these feeble bodies, sometimes we're not able to get it just right. But Lord, you look at the heart. You told us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and you know what's on the inside. So Father, we appreciate that. Again, it's another way you show your love to us. Lord, when we begin to think of this subject and think about all these different things in the Word of God, we just see it everywhere, Lord. Yes, your love for us. We appreciate you, Lord. We're just so thankful for all that you do for us. And Lord, we're looking forward, Lord, to the things you will do also. We appreciate it, Lord. So we ask now once more that you just go with us and keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back again the next appointed time if you should tarry. Lord, let us just come expecting and praying and waiting, Lord, and crying out in the Spirit. And Father, have that passion to know your word and have that fervent desire to please you. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of people. We thank you now for everything this day. Pray that you'll bless each one and bless us as we go through this week, Lord, that we may serve you and we may declare to this nation and this people that you are alive. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. He bless you. You're all dismissed.